Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll be reading verses 4 through 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Responsively. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. Reading in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this time we get to come to church tonight, Lord. Father, I pray you just be with the preacher, Lord, as he brings the message. Father, I pray you just speak to our hearts, Lord. Give him power, give him strength, Lord. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to incorporate the wedding vow renewal of Don and Debbie in the sermon tonight. So it's all going to kind of mush together here. You'll see how it works in just a moment. But if you'll lend me your ears and lend me your brain for a few moments, I would like to help you. The word charity here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the same word that we would use as love. Now, 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the love chapter, but it's not just the word love is not a warm, squishy feeling. You can get warm, squishy feelings that aren't lovely. Did you ever stick your hand in a bucket of rotten worms, Brother Frank? That gives you a warm, squishy feeling, but it's not love, let me tell you. I'm not going any farther with that. All right? Love is not a feeling. The word love is an action word. It means love that gives. We talk about contributing to your favorite charity. That means you give to something that gives to someone. That is exactly what the word charity means. It is a love that gives. Now, let me help you with something here. I believe 1 Corinthians 13 ought to be a chapter that married people read about once a week. It's one of those chapters that you ought to memorize. If you're into Bible memory, it would be helpful. You see, it would help us view God and view His love as He wants it, not as we see it. Too many times we want to bring God down to where we are instead of going up to where God is. Can I tell you, I made a statement this morning. My wife and I were talking about this. She said, "Honey, you said something today that was just so true. If people could just get it. If you had a God you could understand, you would be greater than He is. Quit trying to figure Him out. Why don't you just trust Him?"
That's good.
Amen. You want to question everything He does because you want to bring Him down below you. No, we ought to do what He says. I didn't always understand what my mom and dad told me when I was a kid. You teenagers know what I'm talking about. Well, when I become a parent, I'm never going to say that. I'm never going to do that. You just wait about 5 or 10 years to have a couple of them little twerps running around, and the very words that you said you're not going to say are going to come right out of your mouth, and you're going to say, "I can't believe I said that. But man, was that right." Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Now, can I tell you something? If we had the proper perspective of love, we'd fuss less. We'd have less feuding in our homes and in our marriages and with our children if we just lived 1 Corinthians 13 better. We would have less tension and friction in step situations if we just lived this chapter about love. I'm not one of these people that believes in step situations. They're either your kids or you're not. I don't give a rip. Say, "Well, I don't agree with you, preacher." Don't care. That's your opinion. How about what God says? they live in your home, even part-time, they're your children. If you're married to someone that had children, their children are your children because you two are one. Yes, just so you know. Well, I don't see it that way. Don't care. That's how God sees it. That's why I'm preacher, you're not. Everybody doing all right? Love you. Now, God tells us that charity or agape love is a love that is satisfied by giving. Now listen to me very carefully. Mature love is satisfied in giving. It's not satisfied by getting. Too many people have immature love. I'll love you if you love me. How much do you love me? That's baby love. Mature love says, I'll love you. I don't care whether you love me or not. Mature love says, I don't need to barometer how much you love me back. I'll just love you. Yeah. That's real love. Real love is loving somebody that hates you. Real love is loving people who go against you. It's not hard to love somebody that loves you. Try loving somebody that hates your guts. Step up and be big boys and big girls for a while. Now, I'm going to say this. Too many marriages are not based off of giving love. It's based off of getting love. What do I get out of this? Do I get what I want? Can I tell you how to have a happy marriage? Fellas, you get so wrapped up in giving her everything that she needs from you and everything that she wants from you that you consume your life in giving her what she wants and you don't care what you get back. And ma'am, if you'll do the same to him, I'll show you a marriage that's happy. I can show you 30 years worth it is. 30 years, my wife and I have never fussed or yelled or raised our voices at each other. I did not say we agreed about everything. We disagree daily. But you'll never hear us yell. You'll never hear us fuss. We don't go to separate rooms at night. We don't stomp our feet and slam doors, and she doesn't throw things at me. That could change tomorrow. After 5 days alone with me on vacation, it might change. But can I tell you something? I want her to have what she wants. And she wants me to have what I want. And it makes for an awful good marriage. See, too many times it's, well, this is what I want, though. Oh, now we're talking baby love. That's like the child. Children are good at this. You know, they hit that 4, 5, 6 year old stage, and this is what they say. Well, I don't love you no more because you didn't give me what I wanted. Oh, that's baby love. That's what babies do. Aren't you glad for Romans chapter 5, verse number 8 in the Bible? But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. We love him because he first loved us. It is not based on the receiver, it's based on the giver. That's good. Now, listen to me very carefully. Childish love wants to get or to be given to. Bible mature love, charity love, wants to give. Childish love is when someone has to have it their way. Well, we got to do it this way or else I'm not going to be happy. You know, childish love is, you give everybody a choice of where they want to go to eat. And the one that gave everybody the decision to where they wanted to go to eat, when they get there says, well, I would have never picked this place. Why didn't you grow up? You gave everybody else the decision. If you didn't like it, you make the decision. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm on an island all by myself. I'm going to hide behind the pulpit tonight. You see, you say, well, I gave her what she wanted once, last year. No, it's a daily thing. not a one-time-a-year thing. It's not a, well, I told her when I married her that I loved her, and if I change my mind, I'll let her know. Oh, no. It doesn't work that way. This means that you put your desires and your wants aside and give everybody else what they want. There are things I put aside so that my wife can have what I think she wants. There are things she has put aside sometimes to give me what I want. Say, why is that? Because we love each other. That's real love. It's not, well, it's got to be my way or no way. Childish love is, as long as you let me do what I want, I'll love you. Bible love says, I love you enough to say no, and I won't let you do that. Let me show you what I mean. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, right before the book of Revelation. There's a couple little books of John there. 1 John chapter 2. Let me show you a couple verses here that might surprise you. Can I tell you how God defines love? 1 John chapter 2, verse number 3. The Bible says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his, what's the next word? Commandments. Commandments. Commandments are rules, right? Watch this. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. God says love is keeping the rules. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 2, just a few pages over. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. God says love is obeying the rules. Yes, sir. Teenagers, listen to me. Young people, listen to me. When that person says, if you love me, let me break this rule with you, they don't love you, they hate you. Your mom and dad that won't let you break those rules love you.
Yes, that's right.
A mom and dad that let their children break the rules of morality and break God's commandments hates their children, they don't love their children. I didn't say that, God did. Say, why do you believe in biblical discipline? Because I loved my children. I wanted to keep them from wrong. Everybody doing okay? You don't love your kids because you let them do whatever they want. You love them when you bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and make them follow the rules. My dad loved me enough when he taught me to drive to obey the rules. It's a whole lot safer. He taught me that if you ever got stopped by a police officer, you put both hands on top of the steering wheel after you put the window down, and there's two words you learn real quick. Yes, sir. I just learned that. I've been stopped a few times. I've only had my last speeding ticket was 30 years ago tomorrow on my way to my wedding. No lie. Cross my heart and hope Brother Dorsey dies. That is the last speeding ticket I ever got. All right. I don't speed, but I was pulled over in Indiana. I was going hunting, Brother Frank. Me and another assistant pastor going hunting. I got guns on. I got knives on my hip. I got my hunting coveralls on. You know, we're loaded for bear going deer hunting, and they stopped me, and I was doing the speed limit. But it just started raining, and the police officer comes up, and he said, sir, I'm going to have you step out of the car, come back to my car. He said, you were not speeding. I'm going to give you a written warning. I'm trying to slow traffic down. Oh, great. I got my hands on the steering wheel. I said, sir, may I speak? He said, sure. I said, I have a hunting knife on my right hip. We're going hunting. I have guns in the trunk. And I'm not moving till you tell me what you want me to do. He said, very wise, sir. He said, do you have your wallet handy? I said, yes, sir, it's on my back left hip. But I have to go into my coveralls to get that, and I'm not doing anything, and I'm not moving till you tell me what to do. He said, can he get there without going near the knife? I said, I sure can, but I have to stand up and unzip that side. He said, how about you step out and we'll take care of that. And I said, would you like me to take the knife off and leave it in the vehicle? He said, nope, you've notified me. Anybody that's willing to tell me that, we're okay. I unzipped that side, reached in there, pulled out the wallet this way. I put the wallet back in the front pocket. I wasn't reaching in there again. Went back to his car, sat down, talked to him, found out he had visited the church I was assistant pastor of. I thought, boy, this ought to hit the Hammond Times News, you know, going to hit the Chicago Tribune, pastor put in jail for pulling gun on police officer, you know, here it goes. And he gave me my written warning, said, you didn't do anything wrong, I'm just trying to slow traffic down, have a good day, hope you get one. On we went. You say, did you feel violated? No, I was trying to protect the police officer and myself. They don't know what my intentions are. They don't know me. I respect him enough to let him know what the truth was. Everybody doing okay? You say, what is that? God says love is following the rules. My dad loved me enough to teach me, to keep me alive, not be some jerk mouthing off to a police officer. If I'm carrying a weapon, not to tell him and the guy finds the weapon, that's how people get hurt. Can I tell you how most of these idiots on the news that get shot and killed and everybody protests about, if they'd learn two words, they'd be in good shape. Yes, sir. They've all been guilty of resist. When you resist, something's wrong. Everybody doing okay? My dad told me they might put handcuffs on you, but that's what lawyers are for and courts are for. Don't worry, we'll work it out later. He said, I'd rather have you in handcuffs than have you in a casket. Everybody doing okay? Whereas a wise police officer once said, it's better to be tried by 12 than carried by 6. Very true. Very true. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, gives us a recipe for part of love. And love during hard times. Love during easy times is not, that's nothing. Honeymoon's great. Wait till the bills come due and there's no money. We'll find out what you really love. Wait till you got 2 or 3 kids and all the paychecks gone and you still have 2 weeks left in the month. We're going to find out what love really is. Now, I'm going to teach you just a couple things and then we're going to have some fun here. Number one, the Bible says in verse number 4 that love suffers long but stays kind. Notice verse number 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Folks, our flesh, when we're wounded, wants to lash out. It wants to fight. Anybody who's been involved in the medical profession knows what I'm talking about. The emergency room is a dangerous place. Somebody's hurting, they get violent. Say why? Because they're hurting so bad and they don't want people touching them. They don't want to be violated at a time where they're hurting. I've had 10 kidney stones, trust me. They do things when you have a kidney stone that ought not be legal when you don't have one, let alone when you do have one. That's the nicest way I know how to say that. Can I tell you something? The flesh wants to withdraw. Did you ever see a wounded animal and you try to help it and it'll lash out, it'll bite at you, it'll claw at you because it's hurt and it's trying to protect itself. Human beings get much the same way, and we lash out when we're hurt instead of loving while we hurt. God says love suffers, notice the next word, long. Love suffers long and is kind. My wife has suffered for 30 years. She married me. And yet she's still kind. I did not know Brother Frank and his dear wife would be here. Brother Frank's wife has been losing her vision for the last couple few years. She can only see just very little out of one eye. Unless God performs a miracle, she may in years to come not see at all. You wouldn't know that to see her. got out of that vehicle today and she heard my voice and she, Brother Bush. I wasn't sure if she saw me or not, but I knew she heard my voice. That big old smile, it never goes away. You talk about a lady that's suffering. How'd you like to lose your sight? How'd you like to wonder if when you kissed your grandchild goodnight, if you'd ever see their face again? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Those two are the kindest people you'll ever meet in your whole life. I promise you. I promise you. You say, what is that? They're having fun. They're loving life. They decided they're going to take what they have and just enjoy each other and everything they still have. I love it. Real love puts its own hurt and feelings aside to care about somebody else. May I say this as a preacher? You don't care whether I hurt or not. You want me to care about your hurt. Now, you all love me, and I understand that, but oftentimes it's if I didn't show up to preach like most of you don't show up to go to work, you'd fire me. Everybody doing okay? If I didn't show up to do the things I'm supposed to do, like many people do in the world today, you wouldn't want me as your pastor. In other words, sometimes you have to put your own hurt and your own feelings aside and be kind while you hurt. There's times I have to deal with people, and to me, it seems like a petty problem compared to the list of problems I'm dealing with on my own. But I have to make their problem as important as my problems, put mine aside, and help them with their problem. Amen. You see, the key word is kind. Right. You're going to suffer either way. You might as well be kind while you suffer. Come on. Why be an old grouch? Why be a whiny baby? Man, you only live once. You might as well grab it all. You see, hurting people get very impatient. When I'm in a full-blown kidney attack with a 5-millimeter kidney stone, and I'm barfing my guts out because of pain, I'm in a hurry for them to stick that IV in there and put that stuff in there to make the pain go away. But I'll promise you, I'm constantly checking with my wife, because she's usually with me because I can't even hardly drive to the hospital. And I'll say, did I say something I shouldn't? Have I been okay? Am I being okay? She'll say, honey, you're in pain. I know, but I'd like to be kind even though I'm hurting. God have mercy. They stuck a needle somewhere. It ought never be stuck one time. And I said, honey, I don't remember what I said. She said, is all you kept saying was, oh, God, help me, Jesus. I said, praise the Lord, because I don't know even what I was thinking. As long as I didn't say something I shouldn't say. Now, that was on a Sunday afternoon. On a Tuesday, I was back at the emergency room with a church member who had been in a car accident. And the mother of one of the kids that was in the car accident was there. And the same nurse that did the procedure was standing right next to me. And our church member said, oh, I said, hello, how are you? She said, good, are you feeling better? I said, yeah. And our church member said, do you know her? I said, she knows things about me you shouldn't know. That poor little nurse looked at me and started belly laughing. On she went. Our church member still didn't know what I was talking about, and it doesn't matter. You see, you got to be kind. Even though you hurt, you put your hurt aside and be kind. That's with the people with whom you live. In the confines of your home, your children, your grandchildren, your husband, your wife, the people around you. You see, we ought not be comparing our boo-boo with everybody else's boo-boos. We're not in a competition to see who hurts worse. Let's not be insensitive to people that hurt. Let's just understand everybody's hurt. Number next, the Bible says, love vaunteth not itself. does not envy and is not puffed up, verse number 4. That means this: love does not lift itself above anyone. It stays humble. Love doesn't go around saying, "Look at me." Love says, "What can I do for you?" Love doesn't say, "Oh man, I've been through that 3,000 times. Let me, you ought to know better than that." That's not what love does. Love says, "I think I can help you. Let's work through this together."
Amen.
Love doesn't get arrogant. By the time you got that thing figured out, fellas, she's going to slap you upside the back of the head. Say why? Because you don't have it figured out like you think you do. Love does not feel hurt because someone else got something nicer than you got. I hope to God. I've got a pastor friend up in Maine who's building a church building. He sent me a text the other day. He said, "Man," he said, "somebody just sent my church a $40,000 check for our building." I said, "Praise the Lord." I didn't say, "Man, I wish they were coming here." I know what those checks were like when they came in the mail. Amen. I didn't say, "Well, who was it?" I didn't say, "Boy, I wished I had that." I didn't want for it. I was happy for him. I rejoiced with him over it. I'm happy when my friends have bigger things and nicer things than I have. Doesn't bother me. I don't have to pay for it. They do. I don't want to have more than my wife has. I want her to have more than I have. We just built a new home and God's helped us, provided some very nice things for us. Can I tell you why my wife is scraped and saved and done without for 30 years? It was time to do something nice for her. I may not always be around. At least she'll have a nice place to be with her next husband. I'm teasing. Folks, this is how we live. I'm telling you, it's great. Can I tell you something? Yeah, I'm in the shed tonight. I don't even have a shed. That's the problem. I'm not even sleeping on the dog's bed. Love doesn't say, "Look at me." Love says, "Can I help you?"
Amen.
Real love doesn't want to be seen. It wants to be given. Let me say that again. Real love does not want to be seen. It wants to be given. You love when you want to give and not get back.
That's right.
I asked my dad one day, I said, "Dad, how do you know when you're ready to get married?" Some of the wisest statements that ever came out of that man's mouth was that day. He said, "Son, when you can give back to somebody else what's been given to you your whole life, you're ready." Whew. That was sobering. That was real sobering. I thought, yeah, I could do that. I found out how hard it was. Real love doesn't check to see how it's doing and if the object likes its expression. That's childish. I don't keep asking my wife, "Do you still love me?" A child colors a picture and then wants to make sure that you put it on the refrigerator and wants to make sure you see it every time you walk in the kitchen. That's childish love. That's you inspecting to see how the receiver of your love received it. Real love doesn't check on how the receiver received it. It just gives the love.
Amen. Come on.
Too many of us want a pat on the back after we've loved. Then you did it for your own reward and you didn't do it out of love. Why don't we just give and quit measuring the response? I don't check to see how much my wife loves me. She's there when I go home. we just love each other, no matter whether it's for richer, for poor, in our case, for poor and for poorer, in sickness and in health, kidney stones and wealth, all of that. Can I tell you something? Love doesn't lift itself up and say, look at me. I've got to hurry, number three. Love doesn't behave wrong or seek itself first. Verse number five. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Love looks to the needs of somebody else over the needs of yourself. Love says there's three people at the table and there's only two pieces of pie left. You let everybody else eat the pie and you go without. Not, well, I can solve this. I'll eat both of them. Nobody else gets it. Knew how that one was going, didn't I? Love makes sure others get what they want first and what they want last. I've made sure my wife has some things for our home that she wanted and that I wanted her to have before I get some things that I want for me. Say why? Because that's what real love does. Love doesn't ever say, break this rule if you love me. I've got to hurry, number four. Love is strong enough to get through everything in life. Look at verse number seven. This is the sermon. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Can I tell you something? You young people that have never been married, it looks pretty easy. It's not. You wait till the tough times come. My son and daughter-in-law are on vacation in Florida right now and have been for a week. May 5th, we had our opening Sunday here. They've lost two babies. I stand out here greeting, and 5 minutes before Sunday school started, Brother Mike, you had come in. Where you at? There you are. You had come in off the bus already. My phone buzzed, and it was my son. He said, Dad, I'm taking Ruth Ann to the hospital. I thought, uh-oh. Before the Sunday school hour was over, 10 minutes before I walked out here to preach, he sent me a text. He said, Dad, Ruth Ann had her third miscarriage. We lost another one. I came out here and we did everything we did. I didn't let it affect me. But I wonder what young lady in here is going to lose a baby. I wonder what young lady in here is going to have a husband prematurely taken to heaven. I wonder what young man or what family are going to face cancer. I've been in the hospitals with the 20-year-old bride. Her husband fell over dead with a heart attack. She walked in a new bride and walked out a widow at 20 years old. You talk about heartbreak. Folks, God never promised to keep the problems from coming. He promised to go through the problems with you. God never said he'd take your problems away. He said I'd go through those problems with you. Can I tell you something? Because love does not look to its own needs, it can make it through any problem. Real love never gives up on anybody. Say that again. Real love never gives up on anybody. This is how God loves us so much. Look how bad a sinner you are, and yet God loves you enough to have paid your sin debt for you and take you to heaven if you'll just trust him. You don't have to die and go to hell. No matter what sin you've committed, it's already under the blood if you'll just trust him as your Savior. Bless God. By the way, that's the most wonderful thing in the world. Now, I'm going to tell a little story and then we're going to have a little wedding vow renewal. Don and Debbie met when they were working at the Hills Department Store in Cumberland, Maryland. They worked together for a while, and then they got married on August 15th, 1998. Boy, that was a long time ago. It's okay, I got married in 89. Last October, on a Sunday night, I mentioned this morning, Brother Don came to our church when we were over at Aiken Center, crammed into a room about the size of this section. And we were breathing everybody else's armpits and alternating breathing and crammed in there like sardines, let me tell you. Brother Don came that night, listened to me preach the invitation. He walked forward and trusted Christ as a Savior.
Amen.
Boy, we were excited. Oh, man, who is this guy? Wednesday night, he came back. I thought, boy, this is exciting.
Yeah.
I think Friday, Marcia was moving from one apartment to another place temporarily, and we were loading up a truck and moving it, and Brother Don was there. I thought, man, this guy came Sunday night, came Wednesday night, and I was helping somebody move in the church, and this guy's got something going here. So Brother Barnes and I went to his house on Saturday morning. Don wasn't there, but Debbie was there. We talked to her for a moment, and she invited us in. Sat down on the couch in your living room and opened up my Bible and showed her how she could know for sure she's going to heaven. She bowed her head and trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. Now, this is all I knew about him. Man, I could have charged hell with an unloaded squirt gun at that moment, let me tell you. They came to church Sunday morning. Man, I was excited. And they told me they were coming back Sunday night to get baptized. I thought, glory to God, I had a horse tank, and we're going to baptize them in an old horse tank. Several of you have been baptized in that horse tank. They said, but preacher, can we talk to you after the church this morning? I said, sure. We went to my office, about a third of the size of this platform, literally, and I said, what can I do for you? They said, well, preacher, they began to tell me a little story about how that they've been separated. And they were, Debbie had been out of town while Don was at church last week. He was actually going to another church, and God literally stopped him, and he turned around and came to our church. Literally. And you'd have to ask them, because you wouldn't believe me if I told the story. And Don got saved that night. And then Debbie got saved. And they said, well, we're living in the same house. She was, I think, at your dad's or somewhere, some family member. She had been away for a while. They were living in the same home, but opposite ends of the home, about ready to crash. And I said, yeah. But guess what? You've both been born again, and now you both have the Holy Spirit of God, and God could put this back together. If you'll let me, I'll teach you. They came back. Well, they left my office after a little while. We talked. I gathered my things and I followed out behind them. And as I got to the top of the steps, they had already gotten out the door. And they were walking across the parking lot hand in hand. I couldn't tell you all what was going on. Brother Frank, I looked up and I said, I think there's hope, God. They came back and got baptized that night. They were holding hands the whole time at church. I'm the only one that knows the story. They kept coming. God kept growing them. They kept growing. And here we are tonight, and they want to renew their vows.
Amen.
And maybe you'll have a brother. No. I had to say that one. I had to say that one. Oh, that was too good to waste. That was pretty good, wasn't it, Derek? Can I tell you something? And I'll ask the fellas that are going to come move the pulpit to come move it for me. Can I tell you something? Preacher did not do that. God did.
Amen.
That is not something that man can do. Now, look at me. You've seen Brother Barnes and Brother Dorsey. Neither one of them are good looking, so don't worry about it. I think you're going to have to come up here and get it. Now, everybody look at me for a second. Can I tell you something? Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. Love endures all things. Say, but preacher, I just don't see how this could make it. If you had real love, it can. I did not say everything was right that was done. There was wrong involved. Everybody look at me. But can I tell you something? Real love can surpass all of that. Real love can endure any problem. I don't care what the problem is. Doesn't matter how bad. Doesn't matter how, you say, well, if it were me, that's you, because do you have real love? Notice you're talking about you. How about God in you, the hope of all glory? Aren't you glad God has the ability to look down at you and say, in spite of all your sin, he can forgive you and take you to heaven someday?
Amen.
I'm so thankful we have a God that loves us in spite of our sin. If a perfect, holy, righteous God can love us sinners, how much more should we love each other? Well, I know your church. I know somebody in your church here, and they're a bad sinner. Yeah, probably the pastor. Say why? Because we're all sinners. We're all made out of dirt. Brother Frank, your dirt might be a little darker than my dirt, but dirt's still dirt. I don't care what color the dirt is, dirt's still dirt. Let's face it. You're worth about $1.98 in dirt and water. Literally. Can I tell you something? We're so motivated by our dirt that we think our dirt's cleaner dirt than somebody else's dirt. We're still dirt. So love can bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things.
Amen.
And tonight we get to witness that.
Amen.
Don and Debbie, if you'll come up here, we're going to do a little bit of vow renewal here tonight. And I do have these memorized, but I got them just in case I flub up. Amen. And I'm just so excited for this couple. Can I tell you something? That's what God can do right there. Just think, back in October, y'all were about to blow it. Matter of fact, you already blew it. Can I tell you something? Look what God can do. Love endures all things. Love hopes all things. Love believes. I believed in him. Remember the day I told you, I promise you, I believe this can work. She said, okay, preacher, I'll try. I think. I remember that. Say why? Somebody's got to love. And now look at them. I'm just so excited. So we're going to renew their vows here. And y'all just slobber a while and we'll talk for a little bit. If you, Don, and you, Debbie, have freely and deliberately chosen each other's, again, as partners for life, would you please join your right hands? The right ones, not your left ones. There you go. You don't have to shake it. Yeah. Don, will you have this woman to be your wedded wife? Will you love her, honor and keep her in sickness as in health, in poverty as in wealth, forsaking all others, keep thee only unto her so long as you both shall live? Do you so promise? Debbie, will you have this man to be your wedded husband? And he's a different one. Will you love him, honor and keep him in sickness as in health, in poverty as in wealth, forsaking all others, keep you only unto him so long as you both shall live? You do promise. Don, would you repeat after me the following words to Debbie, please? I, Don,
take thee, Debbie,
to be my wedded wife. to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and cherish till death do us part. Debbie, would you repeat the following words after me to Don, please? I, Debbie, take thee, Don, to be my wedded wife, or husband. Oops, see, that's why I got it there. At least we... to be my wedded husband. If I just read it, I'm better off. To have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love, cherish, and Wally, obey, till death do us part. Now, according to the Bible, of course, they've already been married, but they've rekindled that. And before God and everybody, they're taking their vows again to God and to each other. Can I tell you something? Love will endure all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. Look at those smiles. Don, kiss her. Man. Wait a minute. Turn this way. They didn't get all the pictures they wanted. Try that again. You got to kiss her again. All right? It ought not be something new to you. All right. Thank you. You may have a seat. Can I tell you something? That is a beautiful picture of how someone gets saved. Can I tell you something? When a person trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, I didn't baptize them so that they could do that. They didn't live a good life necessarily to do that. There was an invitation. They accepted the invitation, and they promised their love to God, and God sealed it. You don't get to heaven by what you do. You get to heaven by what Jesus Christ did for you. If you got to heaven by what you did, Jesus didn't have to come and die for you. Period. He paid the price in full. Because all you have to do is accept it. By the way, he says one day we will be his bride. One day we will be his bride. We are betrothed to him if we're saved. One day the rapture will take place. We'll all be jerked out of this place. And we'll be in heaven and we'll have the feast of the bridegroom. The marriage feast of the Lamb. Say why? Because we will be joined with him forever. And that is exactly what happens. But there's only one way to get to that invitation. And that's trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I wonder who would say, preacher, if I died today, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. I know that. Would you raise your hand? Be honest. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? All right, there's one. There's another. There's another. We'll do this right where you're at. If you just raise your hand, say, I don't know that, preacher. You've heard the gospel tonight. Tell the Lord something like this in your heart. Say, dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that because I'm a sinner, I deserve hell. But I trust you and what you did for me to take me to heaven. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Are there those that would say, preacher, just now, I did that. I accepted what Jesus did for me, and that alone take me to heaven. Would you raise your hand? There's one. There's another. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano will begin to play. When it begins to play, if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven still, we'll let somebody take the Bible and how you could know for sure.